101.1 FM and 1450 AM, 1400 AM, North Idaho's radio.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Chamber Chatter Hour. This is Ricky Witte, Office Manager and Membership Specialist and all-around best employee of the Greater Sandpoint Area Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, and my choking co-host over there is Kate McAllister, the Executive Director.
Hey.
Hi.
What's up?
Welcome to my show.
Well, that's the way I wrote it, because it's your show.
Thank you.
Hey, it's good to see you.
Nice to see you.
It's been the chamber closes the week between Christmas and New Year's because we really don't have anybody coming into the chamber during that time. And so it feels like forever when, you know, she's the only employee.
Surprisingly, there were still visitor guides in the little box outside. Like, people hadn't even been trying to come to the chamber last week. I had one voicemail.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I didn't have any. Well, good. Maybe people were spending time with their families.
Hopefully.
And, you know, mellow, or cloistered away at home, not spending time with anybody. But, well, you look great.
Oh, thank you.
Did you have a good New Year's?
I really did. It was both holidays were very mellow.
Nice.
Spent with the quarantine, as we call ourselves, you know, safely. And I did not knit or craft at all. I was done. Christmas Day, I finished my last knitted gift, and I put the needles down, and I didn't pick them up again until last night.
How are your fingers?
Really rested. There was one point I was trying to open a jar, and I couldn't. And I was like, shouldn't I have the world's strongest hands by now? I've been knitting for 3 months straight.
Hey, I saw on Facebook this really cool thing that I wanted to buy you. It's a ring. It's like monkey arms, and you're the yarn goes through the little monkey arm. I thought that'd be really fun.
That would be really cool.
I'm not a knitter, so. Yeah. But it looked really cool, like something you'd want.
Interesting.
Maybe that'll be a bonus.
Oh, okay.
I gave her an envelope last time, so.
Yes. Not an envelope full of cat, just an envelope.
Right. It is the chamber. Yes, it's. I usually take her to the dollar store and say, your bonuses, anything you want, pick one. Anyway,
today we're going to do a wrap-up of the year 2020 and how businesses, like for-profit and nonprofit businesses, made it through. And the final segment, I think we'll do something a little more. We're just going to look forward into 2021, if we have the nerve to go through with that. Could you imagine? January last year, I don't know what our show was about, but I'm sure it was something like Winter Carnival or something mundane.
Yeah, getting ready.
And because we had no idea what 2020 held in store for us. Like, none.
Oh, dear God.
I know. Could you have imagined that this is where we would be this year?
No. Or that, I had stress so bad that I vibrated every night when I went to bed. Yeah, it was crazy.
It was crazy.
So crazy.
First of all, I was sick for February and March. Like, I went to LA beginning of February and got sick as soon as I got back.
It's because we had the COVID.
Almost a month. Yeah.
I had it in January and I was working out at the shed and it was like,
I didn't know it yet.
No.
I know. It was just a thing.
It was. Now look.
Yeah.
Look what we started.
Exactly.
And
I was that naive that I was like, oh, it's just in New York. I can't catch it flying to LA. Like, it was that kind of thing still last February.
What happens when you're going to be a snob?
I know. It's crazy. we're going to predict exactly how 2021 will go incredibly accurately.
Eight ball?
I did.
Okay, good.
That was part of, remind me to tell you a story about the new Saved by the Bell reboot.
Okay.
It's a hilarious joke that they make about a magic eight ball. Anyway, so, because I binge watched a lot of shows in the last week, I got to say. It's an overwhelming thing. So don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. Thank you for joining us here on the Chamber Chatter Hour on North Idaho's Talk Radio. Remember, you can. We're gonna talk to. I should tell you who we're gonna talk to.
It's a good idea.
We're gonna talk to Jen Barden from the Shed Gym.
Woohoo!
I know.
Jen.
It's exciting. What's his? I don't know how to pronounce Bob Witte.
Whitey.
He will be here along with the Bonner County Food Bank Executive Director, Debbie Love, to talk about nonprofits in town and what's going on with them. We also have a written statement from Justin at
Trinity,
which will be very good. And then we'll just kind of recap all of that in the last hour. So stay tuned. Remember, you can now live stream us from anywhere on NorthIdahoRadio.com. And we will be right back.
Winter is back in North Idaho. Hi, this is Sean with North County Electric. With the return of winter, we are faced with new issues, from dark and cold rooms to loss of power from winter storms. At North County Electric, we can help with updated lighting, in-room electric heat, and whole house generator backup systems. North County Electric is your local residential and commercial service specialist. Please call North County Electric for an appointment at 208-255-7980 or find us on the web at nceidaho.com. North County Electric.
Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty is locally owned and operated, and now with two locations, on the South Hill in Bonners Ferry and downtown on Main Street, to better serve the community. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home in 2021, think local. Call Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty for a free market analysis today. 208-267-8575. Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty, located in downtown Bonners Ferry and near the stoplight on the South Hill. Coldwell Banker, that's the power of blue.
Hey everybody, it's Lenny here from 7B TV, your local TV expert, and I want to tell you about Dish TV. If technology, value, and customer satisfaction are important to you, as well as the comfort of local installation, local customer support, and someone who knows your name, then let us help you switch to Dish today. Contact 7B TV, your local Dish authorized premier retailer, to cut the cord once and for all. We'll explain it all up front, find the right package for you, and install your state-of-the-art system with professional and thoughtful care. Drop by 7B TV today to discover Dish TV. Call 208-263-7288, visit us at 105 South 3rd Avenue in Sandpoint, or on the web at 7btv.com. We are 7B TV, your locally owned, locally operated, and locally trusted satellite TV experts. Call for details, 208-263-7288.
As the world faces the challenges of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, Lions recognize that kindness matters now more than ever. And Lions and Leos are finding ways to continue to serve our communities, including ordering food delivery for healthcare workers, holding story time for children online, and providing surgical masks to medical professionals and first responders. Empowering us to do more, Lions Clubs International Foundation has provided nearly $2.5 million in grant funding for COVID-19 relief. And that support continues to grow. For more than 100 years, in times of need, Lions always find a way to help those around them. And after we emerge from this, we will be stronger than ever. Visit lionsclubs.org to learn more.
Missed a noon hour? Check out the audio at our new website, northidahoradio.com.
Missed the noon hour? Oh, welcome back to the Chamber Chatter Hour. This is Ricky Witte from the Chamber, along with Kate McAllister, and we're talking to Jen Barden, the owner slash trainer.
Here I am.
At the Shed Gym, also a regular here on the Noon Hour.
Functional Health Radio will be airing next week, so we're excited. Jill Kahn joins me each month, and we talk about some real issues, and this year's been especially difficult with all the law.
What happens?
Exactly.
So the show today is about businesses and nonprofits and how they fared through 2020. Yeah. What were some of the lessons you've learned?
Well, owning a gym, of course, we were one of the ones shut down.
Right.
And I think you go through the stages of loss. The gym was in fantastic shape. Lots of new bodies, we're moving. It's really a community. A lot of people go there to just touch base with each other, and it's a different type of gym. And I have a lot of members who are all ages, so a lot of older adults, a little higher risk group.
She's talking about me.
But it was like a big deal, and everyone started getting nervous. I think it was, you know, when you said you went down to California about that time, where spread that yeah. there's something happening. And everyone started who really rely on the gym. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen, Jen? What's going to happen? Mm-hmm. Oh, nothing's going to happen. You know, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Well, sure enough, one day we, you know, someone, my phone starts blowing up because the governor said we have a stay-at-home order and my business needs to shut down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Totally not prepared for that. Mm. And I'm a real person-to-person trainer, so I like the contact and the relationships and getting to know everyone. Mm-hmm. So that fighting the online trainer idea was really something I never was interested in mm-hmm. and didn't believe I would ever do. And in an instant, I became an online trainer.
Right. Which I actually loved watching your videos. Yeah. And not necessarily the online training videos, but just you on Daily. Social media yeah. talking and going through what you were going through. And I was homesick at the time. And it just made me feel so much better
I made a
having
commitment
that connection.
To reach out every day. And I learned a lot about using those methods to mm-hmm. communicate, and people, the response was huge.
Yeah,
like I was hearing from people in different parts of the country because I was using Instagram, and so it was really neat. And then I actually took on some clients in New York.
Oh wow!
And I still have these clients. So that's how I kind of adjusted. But a lot of my shed people maintain their membership. Mm-hmm. You know, I did a reduction of rate and provided them workouts still tailored to their abilities and levels, and would offer to Zoom with them or connect with them. And so that it was a dip for sure. I was hit financially, but I didn't sink.
Yeah.
Well, and I have to say, as a member of that gym mm-hmm. for 7 years now, it was really great. I mean, I really did miss our little 6 a.m. community. There's, what, maybe 4 or 5 of us? Not very many of us, but I really did miss that connection. But you were so great about, hey, how's it going? What are you doing? And, you know, like I said, at that time, I was so crazy busy trying to get people money and figure out how to get you money.
I mean, I remember when we came back on, it was what you did for our little businesses in this town. I mean, it was amazing. You were like, watch this. This is yeah. what you do. Call these people. This is going to be available. Because I was flipped out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I was sad yeah. because I was missing my people. I was yes. worried about their mental health, their mm-hmm. physical health, and whether I was going to make it. Because yeah. gyms don't make money.
Right.
We get through.
Yeah.
And we do it because we want to help people.
Right.
And so it was a scary time, but you guys at the chamber were just providing the information that it was like, okay, yeah. I'm going to be okay.
Yeah. Well, and that's what we thought about all the time. That's what I thought about. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't, we've got to survive. They need, you know, we need them to be around. And so, yeah, well, good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad. I didn't sleep for 6 months, but I'm glad.
It was great. You talked about your lack of preparedness yeah. for an actual shutdown. What would you have done differently if you could look back?
Definitely, I would have better internet with where I live. I actually, not knowing that it was going to be a COVID reason that this would become valuable, but I did start filming all of the exercises in small clips. Mm-hmm. So my clients could see me doing the exercises and have my description, which is what they're used to.
Yeah.
It's one thing to go online and Google this exercise and you get 5 different varieties.
Right.
So I had already started recording all these little snippets of video and loading them onto a file. So whenever anyone needed an explanation, it was there in a second. Shared.
Great.
Yeah.
My sister does this to our family all the time because she's a big worker outer. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, hey guys, here's the workout I did today. Let's all do it and send each other our times. And then I've never heard of half of the exercise that she saw. Like, I don't know what that means. We can all make up our interpretation of it, maybe.
Right, but exactly. And then having, you know, I needed to buy like a microphone, and there's certain equipment I needed to do it the right way. And so I have that now.
Good.
So as I grow in different areas with the gym, I can do that.
And I think that's been a big thing a lot. A lot of the musicians I know too have always said like, oh, I've been meaning to get into live streaming, but now it sort of forced me to get all this equipment and figure out how to do it in my house. And
so do you think it gave you another revenue stream?
It did.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Good.
It's all something that I could develop. It's really hard to have an active gym and grow an online business.
Sure.
And especially the way I want to do it. I don't want it just to be a generic workout that I make available to anyone who subscribes.
Right.
It's a personalized workout.
Yes.
So it needs to fit their body and their goals. Mm-hmm. And so it may not be as big as an area of growth while right. the gym's still thriving, but it is something I really like. And I got to tell you, the Zooming option is a game changer because yeah. that eye-to-eye contact is still
right.
there.
Yeah.
And that connection. I have people who the only thing they do is look forward to is connecting each week and going mm-hmm. over their workout because there's conversation. You know, they're in an apartment right. across the country.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's excellent.
I know. So what do you see happening in 2021 in your business?
I still think that people were asking today, is it back to normal?
Like, yeah.
No, because COVID. What's normal? And I expect a lot of people are still cautious, which mm-hmm. I don't blame them. Mm-hmm. You know, I was able, because of my small gym, I limit the number of people in it. So it is safe. With the distancing right. and everything.
And we have to bleach wash everything that we use, every piece of equipment that we use. Exactly. And we're very good about it.
Yeah. But people are depressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People are down. They don't feel motivated. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge, I'm hearing about that. They're, mm-hmm. They don't know how to take that next step.
Yeah. Right.
And I think they're making it a bigger, like I'm encouraging people to take on one small goal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like whether it's walking 10,000 steps a day or
right.
doing 25 push-ups a day. Mm-hmm. You know, start small, start growing, and from that, we'll get moving again.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then as we get into a healthier time and use the online options. There's no reason.
Right.
We're mental health, everyone's struggling. Fitness does make a difference.
Oh, my gosh. Well, after my November with two deaths in November, I was just like, I just was, you know, kind of knocked down. But then all I could think about was, though, I needed to get back to the gym because I knew that I mean, let's face it, at 61, I'm not going to be a size 5 ever again in my life. I was when I was 5. But for the mental health, it was so important to me.
Yeah, we're all built differently. And we all, these unrealistic goals, that's another reason why I always fought like the online stuff. Because it's like these trainers look like they're just models.
Yeah. Right.
It's not real life. I'm 53.
Yeah.
I don't look like that. I am strong.
Yeah.
And I'm proud to be strong. And that's right. my goal, to work on my strength. It's not to run a marathon. It's not to do anything. It's to just focus on one small thing.
Right.
That was a kind of a big realization for me pretty early on, too, because I was, especially when I was sick and then I had to get back out in the world, and I had so much anxiety. And I really just concentrated on listening to myself more than what I felt like I had to do.
Yeah.
If I needed to like spend a day hiding under the covers, that's what I let myself do.
Absolutely.
Like that's what I had to like listen to myself and go like, okay,
we're
just
all
calm down. There's no expectations.
Yeah. Totally. And that's why I do like our gym and I'm glad that people hung in there with me and mm-hmm. did the remote because that's what we preach.
Yeah.
This is about you.
Yeah.
This isn't about me.
Right.
And it's not about your friend that's on the treadmill next to you.
Yeah.
And so keep continuing that path.
Right.
I think we'll get people moving again. But I think it'll be a slow building up again for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And because I've always appreciated the personal aspect of, like you said, I always felt like every workout's just for me because, mm-hmm. you know, my limitations and I really appreciate that. And it was always the highlight of, I don't want to get up at 5:30 in the morning, but you know, I get to go to the gym.
Yeah.
I get to gossip with all the people there. It's going to be so great.
I want to know, how are you doing?
Right. Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are missing that.
They are. Well, and, you know, for the first little while, it was who's closed down, who's open up. And that's why I think I've spent more time that last year on Facebook than I have ever in my entire life. All I did was Facebook all the time. But you guys all needed it. The businesses needed it.
We do. And a lot of the people that are in the gym own businesses.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I remember going for a walk with a restaurant owner when we were all locked down because we still need each other.
Yes.
And we still needed that support. And we could get out and be out in nature because that was okay.
Yes.
And connect and, like, pick each other up.
I remember seeing two shed heads on the trail on the Dover Bay, and we were all just like, oh my gosh, it's so good to see you.
Yeah. Yeah, it means something.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. So what kind of things, I know she just asked this a bit ago, but 2021, what are some goals? You don't know, make it through the first quarter?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and keep encouraging people to move and
connecting
with people that I haven't heard from. And that's kind of one of my big things for me personally is I'm a real present and then I'm following your story and I'm engaged and I'm checking on you. I'm always are you okay?
Are you okay?
Yeah. And so that's what I do. But when I'm not in that circle with them, mm-hmm. I kind of lose touch. So my personal goal is to reach out mm-hmm. to some people that have meant a ton to me in the past. Sure. And so like last night, I Zoomed my college roommates and we hadn't mm-hmm. talked in years. And it was just like this amazing, it was awesome.
Yeah. Good.
You know, so that's my goal personally, to do those things, and I can control that.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. When was your show going to air again?
It will be on Monday at 12:10.
Perfect.
Hey.
Unfortunately, it's time for another station break, so don't change that dial. You are listening to the Chamber Chatter Hour on North Idaho's Talk Radio.
All right. There you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was wonderful. That was really, really good.
Good.
Okay. I'm not hearing anything, so I didn't know if it was.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
Are you letting life's challenges derail your fitness and health? Hi, this is Jen from The Shed. Whether your goals are to build strength, lose weight, increase heart health, or improve your balance, I can tell you any long-lasting change will take consistency. My goal as a fitness coach has always been to provide my clients constant encouragement and workouts written for their needs and ability. So whether you're at The Shed, traveling, or hunkered down at home, I'll help you stay on track. Try The Shed today, in person and online. 208-610-1748.
Hello everyone, I'm Dr. Bruce Vogel and this is Pet Talk. The most common reason for pet owners to abandon a pet or find it a new home is behavioral problems. So the key to an enjoyable pet, well-behaved, is to prevent inappropriate behavior in the first place. Most behavioral problems are actually normal dog behaviors, like digging, jumping, barking, and roaming. So step number one is to understand normal dog behavior and have appropriate expectations from your pet. Puppies need to chew. Just be sure to train them to chew the appropriate things. Keep your shoes and other inappropriate items picked up. Puppies explore their environment with their mouths. However, your hand is not a chew toy, so biting your hand should be stopped from day one. Teach puppies the house rules from the start. Changing rules as puppies grow only causes confusion. This has been Pet Talk, and I'm Dr. Bruce Vogel wishing you and your pets a great day.
As the world faces the challenges of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, Lions recognize that kindness matters now more than ever. And Lions and Leos are finding ways to continue to serve our communities, including ordering food delivery for healthcare workers, holding story time for children online, and providing surgical masks to medical professionals and first responders. Empowering us to do more, Lions Clubs International Foundation has provided nearly $2.5 million in grant funding for COVID-19 relief. And that support continues to grow. For more than 100 years, in times of need, Lions always find a way to help those around them. And after we emerge from this, we will be stronger than ever. Visit lionsclubs.org to learn more.
KSPT, KBFI, North Idaho's radio.
Welcome back to the Chamber Chatter Hour. This is Ricky along with Kate. We are back with a new voice in talk radio, Bobo Huiti.
Who brought his own can of disinfectant spray.
Yes, that he is spraying in my face. We also have a guest on the phone, Bonner County Food Bank Executive Director, Debbie Love, and we're continuing with our nonprofits discussion and how they fared through 2020.
Well, actually, I want to read first. Justin from Trinity sent some information in when I asked him those same questions, and I just want to read his answers. It's interesting because I think we are all looking for deeper introspection from mm-hmm. last year. So from Justin, what are the lessons learned by your organization? His response, the world will go on without you and your business, and that's fine.
Wow.
I can always find another job. What matters most are your family and friends and relationships you have forged. I long dearly to go back to hanging out with some of my favorite friends. friends. My circle has always been small, so it really makes me sad to have had so little personal contact with them. I really have a hole that I can't fill in that area and look forward to the day we can go back to seeing them. Family-wise, 2020 fulfilled my dream job of being a stay-at-home dad. It was the most amazing experience to spend as much time with my wife and kids. I got to catch up on over a decade of missed time. My challenge for the rest of my life will be how to better balance my family as the main priority from my work and nonprofit lives. The second question, did you realize you were over or underprepared? I think I did everything that I needed to do to shut down and reopen. I really just kept faith that somehow my business would be made whole again and that it would be safe if we followed the guidelines bestowed upon us. We're still doing it and it feels somewhat normal, or at least more like a part of our regular routine at the restaurant. Question 3, how did your staff do through the chaos? Amazing. I am so grateful to all of them, including the ones I lost during and after the shutdown. I truly couldn't have reopened without them. For whatever reason, they put aside the uncertainty of their own health and they chose to come back to work. I respect that immensely. It has made me a better employer, boss, coworker, leader, friend, father, and husband, and I am so grateful to them all. Question 4, what are you or would you do differently? Nothing. I did the best I could with the information that I had at the time. Question 5, what does 2021 look like for you? No idea, and that is exciting.
That's the right answer.
Right? No magic eight ball. For the first time in a long time, I have no expectations. It's quite refreshing. I'll take it as it comes. I feel confident that after 2020, I am prepared for just about anything. Thank you, Justin, for those answers to the question.
Excellent.
That was really great. So now we'll find out.
So now we're talking to a couple of nonprofits. Obviously, Bob, you are the chairman of the Festival of Sandpoint. And
president.
The president, sorry, of the Festival of Sandpoint, and also the president of the board of the Chamber of Commerce.
And president of Bulldog Bench.
Thanks. I was trying to get there.
Okay, sorry.
So you know a thing or two about navigating nonprofits through all of this. And then Debbie, as I said, is the ED of the Bonner County Food Bank, who I can only imagine was no less than overwhelmed during all of this.
Hi, Debbie. Are you there?
Hi. Yes. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. So what are some of the lessons you learned?
Well, there's a whole list, Kate. Mm-hmm. How do I begin here? Back in February, one of our clients came in and had mentioned the virus just casually, but very upset and started crying, and he was upset because he felt like everything, you know, he wasn't sure what was going to happen. So it got me in tuned with what was coming, and in March, I went into the boardroom, and I had a whiteboard there, and I told the staff, I said, okay, here's our operation. We got this. We're going to prepare, but we're not sure what we're preparing for, kind of thing.
Right.
So in March, we did a complete pivot where our operations moved from the inside of our building into the outside, and that I was prepared for. The one thing that I didn't really see coming was the lack of access to food.
Oh, wow.
Locally. So we rely heavily on our partnerships with the local grocery stores here and Second Harvest, which is the regional food bank out of Spokane.
Mm-hmm.
And we had food in our warehouse. I had a large order coming in February because donations tend to drop for the food banks around that time after the holidays. And I called them and they said, we're sorry, we've cut off our purchase program.
Wow.
So there's no food.
Whoa.
And I just remember carrying that burden home and trying to figure out, okay, I've got partnerships. I've got an order into Walmart. I've got an order into Yolk's. Please let them come through. And they did come through. In fact, Walmart connected me with their national office, so I was able to order frozen meat, which is hard to come by at that time. And so we went through that. Yolk's came through. And then slowly, as things started to be new more, things were getting better. But another turn that we had was we went from 40 volunteers to 5, and an increase from 1,600 families to 2,000 families in one month.
Oh, my gosh.
So we were able to push forward. There's 7 paid staff. I've got 5 staff here in Sandpoint and 2 in Priest River, and then we had a total of 5 volunteers.
Wow.
But then spring hit, and fortunately other community members started to step in, including students from college returning home who couldn't be on campus.
Oh, nice.
So they really, yeah, came through.
That's
and then
amazing.
As well as brave adults who turned out to be committed and very adaptable crew of workers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very grateful for people that put their life on the line basically to be here with us.
Yeah, right. How did your community donations go over the holiday season? I know that's usually a big time for you guys and the toy drive and all of that. Did you find an increase or a decrease?
You know, our community is amazing, and we always knew this, but I don't want to get teary here, but our donations increased, which was amazing. It took a load off of my shoulders. It became a safety net for the community, not only socially, but food-wise as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able, because the food the shelves in our stores here locally were low, I was able to go out to outside distributors in Southern California and Ohio, and we were ordering food by the pallet.
That's amazing.
Yes. So having that support donations from the community really helped us get through this.
Wow.
Did you stay at the 2,000 family level, or has it increased?
We are still a little over 2,000. It actually, when the stimulus checks were going out, we decreased in numbers, which gave us some breathing room to get back to what we were used to.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the holidays and the cold weather started, we've increased.
Bob, what have you found, especially with Bulldog Bench? I know that that's sort of, it's not necessarily a, you know, high priority, very public nonprofit. Have you guys suffered at all during this? And then the festival too is in such a precarious position anyway.
Yeah, Bulldog Bench, actually, we got through it relatively well. I mean, we've done a number of different fundraisers over the nearly 80 years that Bulldog Bench has existed. I've been there for every one of them.
I was going to say that.
Sometimes it feels like that. No, done a lot of different fundraisers over the years, but in the last, you know, decade or so, we've really narrowed it down to two major charity golf tournaments, which are sold out every spring and every fall.
Wow.
And so, fortunately, we are financially in a really good position. We're stronger than it's ever been in all these years.
Wow.
And it's mainly because of our board, Matt Myers, our treasurer, Caleb Bowman, our vice president, Clint Gunter's our secretary, and then John Bonar's a regular helping with the golf tournaments, and of course, Chris Knowles from the high school. And so it wasn't going to be the end of supporting athletics at Sandpoint High School if we didn't have a spring tournament. So. We didn't know what was going on. Golf courses didn't know what was going on yet, because we normally have it in April. So it was like, well, let's not have a spring golf tournament. We're not doing that. And it's not the end of the world for us right now.
Good.
But we were able to do it safely at the links in summer. So our spring golf tournament was like end of June 26th, something like that. And it was sold out, and it was at the time in June, people like you were talking about in the first segment were just chomping at the bit to see each other.
Yeah. Right.
And we did everything outside, and it was very safe, so it was very successful. And then we were able to have our fall tournament at the Idaho Club. So Bulldog Bench got through it okay. Most of what we do, instead of getting together for a regular luncheon, we just do online or emails.
Sure.
So the festival, quite a different thing,
yeah.
Because it is a obviously a huge public event. We rely on artists who are touring from town to town to town and coming here and their whole crew, and then of course thousands of concert goers. So that was a whole different thing, and it was really emotionally really tough, because it was the week in March we were about to announce our new executive director and our lineup and start selling tickets, which we need to do to keep the doors open. But that same week, we started getting calls from agents and artists saying that don't sell tickets because we don't know what's going on. We may not be touring in August.
Right.
And I was like, wait, what?
What?
Because nothing had really canceled yet.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, every event, as you know from the chamber, and every nonprofit, just every concert, every theater eventually closed. But so it was a tough decision for us. It was a very emotional Zoom festival meeting back in March. It's like, what do we do? And it's like, we got to pull the plug. And but no, like I said, nobody had postponed yet, so it was really, really a tough announcement. But
I think you were one of the first major events to cancel for the year, which ended up being correct. People were like, oh, by August, we'll be back to normal.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, the calls we were getting were unbelievable. It's like, yeah. What are you guys doing? I go, well, we don't have any artists.
First of all, so Bob, we're going to keep you on for the next segment. But Debbie, I just wanted to, if people wanted to find out more information about the food bank, how can they do that?
They could visit our website at foodbank83864.com, mm-hmm. or they can call us at 208-263-3663.
Excellent. And what are you looking forward to in 2021? What's your goal?
To keep it under control.
Yeah, no doubt.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us. It is time for another brief break, but we will be right back. Thank you for listening to Chamber Chatter Hour on North Idaho's Talk. Derek, are you ready for a break? Yeah? Okay, North Idaho's Talk Radio, here's a break.
Hi, this is Dr. Dawn Mara from North Idaho Animal Hospital. My friends, the Kirbys, own a fluffy bunny, great pet, named Kootenai. The bunny came into North Idaho Animal Hospital one morning anorexic and just not doing well. The Kirbys were feeding Kootenai a decent, high-quality pelleted diet. He got lots of exercise. What's your diagnosis? The first thing we looked at was Kootenai's gastrointestinal system. On x-ray, we found a suspicious blockage that looked like a hairball. We call these trichobezoars. They are deadly because they clog up the GI tract, causing a complete body breakdown. After rehydrating this bunny, we administered some fresh pineapple juice. The enzymes in this juice help break down the hair, opening up the tract for nourishment. After 2 days, Kootenai was hopping around the house like nothing had happened. Even hairballs can cause life-threatening disease. Call 265-5700, North Idaho Animal Hospital. Growing and expanding because we care.
At the Co-op, we get the farming, ranching, gardening, off-grid, do-it-yourself, and escape to the woods lifestyles. We understand farm animals, pets, honeybees, and wildlife. In our aisles, you will find housewares, clothing, animal health, hand and power tools, yard and garden supplies, plumbing and electrical products, and more. We can help you plant a garden. We can show you how to put in a fence, run a water line, establish a pasture, and catch the rain in barrels. We can show you what you will need to fasten a dealy bob to a whatchamadinget and hang up a doohickey. Our hardware selection is impressive. And when it gets cold outside, we can help you stay warm with wood stoves, energy logs and pellets, and propane options. So when it comes to propane, farm, home, and hardware, think Co-op Gas and Supply Company. We get this rural life like no one else. Come see us. The Co-op, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, 208-263-6820.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
97.1 FM is North Idaho's radio.
Welcome back to Chamber Chatter Hour. This is Ricky with Kate and Bob.
Hey, sorry, dead air.
If you nod on the air, don't hear it.
You got to talk.
Oh, hi. What are we talking
again,
about?
Everybody.
You're the host. I'm waiting for a question.
I don't know what we're talking about. We're just going to recap a little bit about things that we can look forward to in 2021. Sure. You mentioned that the festival offices are reopened for the first time in a year.
Yeah, as of today, Allie Baranski is our new full-time executive director, who we wanted to announce last March, but then everything got put on hold. And Haley CC is joining her as the office manager.
Excellent.
And, basically I've been like getting the mail every day and bringing it in and answering phone calls. And Amy Beislein's been helping us out tremendously as the interim office manager, very part-time, but, you know, paying bills and taking care of all that stuff. So in between her and Allie, they've kept the festival going. And what we have to look forward to is all we can do is we never stopped meeting. In fact, when we made that announcement in March, we started having a board meeting instead of once a month. We were doing it once a week. And you know, people were thinking, well, there's nothing going on at the festival. I'm like, we are working so hard right now. We are doing everything we can to keep this. I mean, it's millions of dollars, Kate, as you know, into the community every August. And people like Mickey and Duffy, they'll tell you that it's their busiest 2 weeks of the year.
Right.
It's
like as well as all the community programs. You have the fifth grade music thing that you guys do. It's there's so much impact that you have.
Yeah, and Festival Street, all the vendors. I mean, just the whole thing. So so we kept meeting all year, and then it was really fun, you know, for a lot of us. Zoom was pretty new, and we have some people even older than me on the festival board who it was a huge adjustment to go to Zoom meetings. But all we can do right now is we're starting to work on booking and just stay as positive as possible. Right. It's like we are doing this until something or someone says you can't. So we're heading in that direction. And already, like I said, working on booking, and all the artists are looking at it like that too. It's like, well, you know, we don't really know what this summer is going to be like, but let's act like it's going to be great.
So we'll just pretend.
So we just keep pushing forward.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like at the chamber too. It's very interesting when we had the shutdown and everybody was closed. We were still in the office, like Jen said, looking for money, trying to figure out. So, yeah, there was no time off. Even though our doors had closed, we were still open. And it was a struggle for us. It still is a little bit of a struggle. We're down to two employees now. You know, but the Chamber of Commerce is a nonprofit, but we are a C6, a membership organization, as opposed to a C3, which is a charitable organization. So we're very limited on the grants that we can get. And we've been very thankful to our members who've been so great and paying their membership dues, because we had to cancel all of our events. And for a small nonprofit, that's really a lot of money for us to have to cancel. But we're looking forward to, you know, having Summer Sampler at the end of June, Beer Fest in July, Scenic.
How fun Summer Sampler is going to be.
Oh, my gosh.
I know these restaurants I haven't been to in over a year, and you get to taste all of them in one plate. Yeah. It would be amazing.
Yeah, and so we're really hoping that they all come out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we're, you know, we're struggling, but we got the two of us. We'll just keep going, doing a lot, like I said, a lot of social media, and still doing the tourism part of the chamber. And, you know, we definitely had a lot of people here, and we are very thankful. Ricky and I went chambering a number of times, and businesses were doing great. You know, that's because a lot of states were on lockdown, so they came here, which was good and bad.
Exactly. But like Jen was saying too, a lot of people didn't know who was open or where they could go. And so a lot of what we were trying to do too was just get the word out, especially for the new business. There were new businesses that opened this year. Like Bluebird Bakery and Sugar Tooth. Most of actually the businesses down on Cedar Street Bridge are brand new this year, their first year in business. McDuff's just opened a new, you know, building.
It's gorgeous.
Oh my
God,
it's
beautiful.
So they're very safe distancing in there right now.
Yeah.
And then how these people navigated, not only did you have a business plan that got thrown out the window, but you had to put in all these new protocols. And it's amazing the resilience of the Sandpoint small business owners and how they made it through. It was really awesome to get down
and
talk
sort
to
of an irony that, you know, we're going through this pandemic and the local businesses are doing well.
Right. Well, even tourism, they send out our, you know, because we get our tourism dollars, my grant money, based on revenue from bed tax. So people staying in hotels. And we're in region one. There are seven regions in Idaho, and we are the only region that we're not in the red. We are up by 37%. Everybody else is down by 20-40% in their tourism. So we've done very, very well, and I'm very happy to say that I know of we've not had any businesses go out of business because of COVID.
Right.
That's amazing. Compared to, I mean, if you listen to or watch the national news.
Or Spokane, even.
Yeah, Spokane is not good. Oh. But yeah, my hat's off to you guys. You know, we're at the chamber because there's so many people in town. We saw it all summer long, these out-of-state license plates into your parking lot. And then you two being the only two employees, then having to deal with the general public who are coming from who knows where, you know, trying to get away from all of this. It's like, I don't know how you do it.
And we feel really bad because, you know, Ricky is the membership specialist. I do the tourism, you know, and then I have city committees that I sit on, and we feel bad because sometimes we just literally have to shut the office because she's got a meeting and I've got a meeting. And, you know, sometimes people are like, I came by and you weren't there. It's like, well, now it's only two of us.
Yeah. And we couldn't hire our summer help that, you know, is normally the one manning the desk because she's in her 70s and we love her.
Sure.
Yeah.
So it really was, it was an unconventional summer at the chamber.
That's right.
We were not always there.
So talking about what we're looking forward to, I'm looking forward to the chamber being open all the time and bringing Betty back if she chooses to.
Right.
And, you know, that smiling, bubbly face personality.
Yeah.
And just back to a typical summer. It would be so great.
When you don't realize how much we miss her.
Yeah.
Or how much time it takes to answer all the phone calls, put the vacation packets together. And, you know, I mean, it was good for us because you get back to the basics and really understand what we're all about. But it was also, and then on top of that, doing all our other jobs, it was a little difficult. But we did it and we're great. And so what are your personal resolutions?
Bob?
Well, you know, last year my resolution was I was not going to wash my hands after using the bathroom, but that lasted until February.
Sure.
And then I thought, well, I better start washing my hands all the time. No, I don't know. I hadn't really was prepared for that question. A personal resolution, you know, like everybody else is, I'm going to eat healthier. Oh, I'm going to work out. But, you know, I kind of do that anyway. So.
Did you have any epiphanies about 2020? Did you have any realizations? I told Ricky today that I would love to write a dissertation about the sociological aspects of what 2020 does to a community. And so did you have any epiphanies?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Like for me, awakenings, like for me, I really found out what some people are like.
Yeah. Oh, people are losing their crap all the time. And thinking, well, they're not a very strong person.
Right.
And, you know, you really measure people out of their abilities when they are faced in a tough situation.
Right.
And how do you get through it? Like, do you witness an accident? Do you freak out or do you go help?
Right.
You know, there's two different thoughts there. So, and you realize how much you take for granted friends and people.
Yes.
Like hanging out with your husband,
example. Right? And he misses you too.
I miss it so much.
I know, right?
But just to be safe, not just for myself, but for everyone, I'm not going out and doing that. So you miss all those people. Like even that guy I thought I hated to see him come in my bar is like, I miss him.
I miss that guy.
And then, you know, just little things like your grandkids and just I forgot the peanut butter and just run to the store. He's like, no, you don't just run to the store anymore. You know, you'd be careful about it. So, yeah, a lot of little things like that.
Yeah.
And, we've all never spent so much time alone.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Exactly. And I think Brian and I talked about when Jen was on, just listening to yourself more. Like there were so many days where it's like, well, I have a scratchy throat, but I feel fine. I think I'm just going to push through it and go to work. Now you really do listen to yourself and go like, no, today is the day that I need to rest and take care of myself and figure out what's happening instead of trying to push yourself. We've also kind of, a lot of people have figured out to pivot and know what they can do from home and how to still be productive and still, you know, be a member of society without having to be out and about. And I honestly think from now on, when I don't feel good, I'm going to wear a mask in public. I get it now. Yeah. I haven't had a cold
or a flu all
season. And we just made it through cold and flu season. Like, that's amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So kind of to wrap it up here, it says six, but there are more than that. Here's some lessons to heed in the new year. Accept that nothing is constant. We live in a world of change, but sometimes we forget that. Prepare for the unexpected. Be agile. Mm-hmm. Recognize the importance of your community. Try new things. Stock up on valuable commodities, Clorox wipes, and toilet paper.
Apparently, yes.
Basic things are not basic. Being alone doesn't equal loneliness. Taking a break is productive, and honor your feelings.
Just like what I said.
Just exactly what you said.
I liked Bob Woody's COVID joke when this first all came out and there was a big toilet paper scare. And he was like, I haven't run low on toilet paper. I'm just reusing it.
Ba-dum-bum. Where's the rim shot?
And we, you know, we all survived COVID 17 and 18. So,
right.
I mean,
so
what's the big deal?
What's the big deal? 19.
No, it's been a tough year, obviously. And it wasn't just COVID this year. There were so many other things. It's like, every other day, it's like, what else could go wrong? It's like, I wish I hadn't said that.
Right, don't say that.
So hopefully it'll be more normal.
Yeah,
2021.
Whatever that is.
Whatever that means.
Yeah.
I guess we're done.
We're done.
Yeah. I'll see you Wednesday.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
KBFI, Bonners Ferry, 1400 KSPT Sandpoint, a Blue Sky Broadcasting radio station.
From ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. A day after the audio was released of President Trump's phone call with Georgia's Secretary of State, where he tries to reverse his